This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We get an update from the Fed today, but we're watching more than just interest rates. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. When you call around Wall Street this morning, very few are expecting the Federal Reserve to push up interest rates when its meeting wraps up today. If they do, we'll let you know. But just how aggressively the Fed does raise the cost of borrowing later this year depends a lot on what they tell us today about inflation. Diane Swonk is chief economist at the accounting and consulting firm Grant Thornton. She has some specific types of inflation on her radar screen.
There certainly is the normal inflation the Fed has expected, but more importantly, we're seeing already the inflation tied to tariffs, the fear of tariffs, and the fear of quotas start to seep into the inflation data, picking up on things like steel, aluminum, all the places that, of course, the administration has already invoked some tariffs and threatened to invoke more.
In other words, one of the things the Fed considers is inflation, and one of the factors feeding into inflation is the possibility of new tariffs. Here's Diane again.
Tariffs create inflation, but they create unwelcome warming trend, more of a flare of inflation that's not driven by wage gains like we see in the service sector today. That's what the Fed welcomes. That's a sign of a healthier economy. Inflation that comes from these existential threats like tariffs and quotas, that's inflation that raises prices without giving an offsetting increase in wages. And in fact, what we've seen in the past, it's cost us a lot more jobs than it's gained us, and so it actually erodes a lot of purchasing power.
Economist Diane Swonk at Grant Thornton. We're also following F8, the conference of programmers who work with Facebook. There's news the social media giant is working on a feature it says people can use to safeguard privacy. Molly Wood, host of our sibling program, Marketplace Tech, is covering the conference.
Before the keynote even started, Facebook rolled out a new feature that actually lets users clear their history of personal web browsing information. That's all information the company has collected while you're surfing the web or clicking the like button on third-party sites. You don't necessarily even have to be logged in for this information to get collected, so a lot of people were concerned about it, and it was a pretty big step for Facebook to say you can now delete this data. However, shortly after announcing that and talking a lot about user privacy, Mark Zuckerberg went on to ask people to use Facebook for dating. It was a good reminder that the company's goals ultimately involve your most personal interactions with your family or your friends or your potential romantic partners.
Marketplace's Molly Wood. CEO Mark Zuckerberg told the developers that if users do indeed dump their browsing trail, Facebook won't be quite as good. And now to the economics of empathy. It's about tweaking how doctors and hospitals get paid to promote empathetic care. So there's something in it for the healthcare industry if you stay healthy rather than if you get sicker. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports from our health desk at WHYY.
At a recent job fair in West Philadelphia, staff from the Penn Center for Community Health Workers are peppering job candidates with questions. Applicants are here for jobs in which they go to people's homes and help them figure out how to deal with their health problems.
I would ask you guys, so what was exciting or interesting to you about this position?
Think of it as healthcare style speed dating.
Everybody seen Black Panther? Am I the only one?
Yeah.
This is the first of several steps the center takes to identify job seekers who can understand and sympathize with their patients, because that builds trust. The center matches patients who cycle in and out of the hospital, often related to medical illness, poverty, and mental health concerns, with community health workers from similar upbringings. Center Director Dr. Shreya Kangovi.
The community health worker really says, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to ask you, Mr. Jones, what do you think you need in order to improve your health? Which we don't typically ask in healthcare.
Hospitals and physicians increasingly have financial incentives to keep patients out of the hospital. Kangovi has shown in a randomized controlled trial, community health workers have reduced hospitalization by 30%. Dr. Joe Betancourt, founder of the Boston-based firm Quality Interactions, says demand is up. He trains doctors and nurses to improve their relationship in part through what he calls high return on investment questions.
We're trying to thread the needle between the reality that we don't have a lot of time and we can't spend an hour asking a lot of questions and getting more information than if we did nothing.
As consumers in high deductible plans continue looking to save money and Medicare continues to reimburse hospitals and doctors for patient outcomes rather than the overall number of patient visits, companies selling empathy have a growing market. But Dr. Toyin Ajayi with the new Brooklyn-based healthcare startup CityBlock says despite the value empathy potentially offers, she doesn't hear much about it.
People are talking about cost saving and operational efficiency. They're not yet talking about empathy and relationships.
But, says Ajayi, they should be. She does understand why there's a healthy dose of skepticism when it comes to this type of work. Even the most empathetic approaches may fall well short for the patients wrestling with addiction, mental illness, and poverty. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.